First thing I'd like to do this morning is to say Merry Christmas to those folks who listen to us regularly on the internet, the people whom we don't see, the people who I met during the days that we were hauling up down the road showing horses. And I tell you this morning, we appreciate you, and Jesus loves you. I want you to know that. And make this thing personal to you too. We know you're out there, and we thank you. The other thing is, I thought about it this morning, laying in the bed in the dark. I had woke up and hadn't got up yet, and just laying there, carrying on a little conversation with God about today. And you know, I don't mean to use this in a bad way, but you know, the thought came to my mind that, and like I said, that thing the other night with all those people here in this church singing, I thought about what they can get other places and how excited they seem to be about being here. And the expression came to me, all we have to offer you is Jesus. And I thought about the things that other churches go to so much trouble to have that we don't have, and people seem to love us because of what we got. Because God has had on my mind all this week being simple. And I think that's what people are wanting today, is just simple, simple stuff. And from the other night, I think that's what Jesus wants us to have. I don't know if those folks could explain what's going on, but I think that Jesus led them to enjoy what we have here. I believe that through the work of the Holy Spirit inside of them. So the title this morning of this is simply Obedient. And in the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians in verse 3, Paul says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his craftiness, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Now, Paul says in another place that we understand how the devil works. Well, I don't know. It kind of gives the impression here that he's not sure about how many different ways he works. But he says, "But I fear lest by any means." And I think that implies that there is no set way that Satan will come after us. I think he'll keep coming after us, trying to get us sidetracked. I'm talking about the born-again believers. Until he gets us out of God's will and of not the use that God intended for us to have. Through his craftiness. And it says in my book, that word is put in for the word subtly. And you know it said in another place that he was the most subtle creature that God ever created. That your mind should be corrupted. That means thinking what is not exactly right. In Ephesians 5 and 15, Paul says, "See then that you walk circumspectly." And I looked that word up. Circumspectly is perfectly and the most exact. So that's what he's saying. "See then that you walk exactly like God wants you to. Not as fools, but as wise." And then in Ephesians chapter 6. You may want to turn there. In verse 6 and 7. He's talking about serving here. And this is the thing that we get caught up in. "Not with eye service," verse 6 of chapter 6, "as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Now, let me tell you something. One of the hardest things I had to learn, I'm around a lot of giving folks, a lot of folks who have a real heart for people. And I've been accused in the past of maybe not having so much that. And I don't doubt that. I wouldn't argue it at all. But even that, I've had to learn not to deal with people based on my sympathy for them. Even in dealing with people who have needs, you need to be careful to be obedient to God. I have learned that if God has got somebody that He's working on, and He's got them all stirred up and in a pan, and He sticks them in the fire to bake them, if you take them out before they're done, you're going to have a mess. And I've said before, I see a lot of people who do this who have the gift of giving, because it's so easy for somebody in a jam just to give money. And every time that I'm faced with a situation where I might need to give somebody some money from the church, I have to ask God, is this what you want? Because I'll tell you something, folks. I've turned down some folks here. I have. I found out later why I turned them down, but at the time I turned them down, I didn't know why. But God just told me, no, you just need to walk real slow right here. Don't jump in there too quick. So, it's all about obedience. We've said that before, but we'll say it again. It's just simply obedience. That's all it is. That is the key to spirituality. And like me and Mr. Buddy was talking this morning, if people will learn that God has equipped us, I mean, they won't argue with it, the theory of it, the doctrine of it, they agree with. God has put inside of us a piece of Him called the Holy Spirit, and it's there to guide us. But we don't seem to be as much in the habit of listening for it and being obedient to it when we hear it. And then the thing is that I found, just this verse we got here, that Paul is warning us about being men pleasers. There is a desire in our natural body, in our mind, in our natural way, our nature, in other words, is not to want people to not like us. Everybody has got in them a desire for people to like them and approve of them. That's just part of our makeup. In some kind of way, we've got to get over it. Galatians 1:6 says, Paul said, but when it pleased God to reveal His Son in me, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. So you watch who you ask. You watch who you listen to on the radio. You watch who you listen to or watch on TV. And we're told to try every spirit. So we've got to be careful that we don't agree with things just so people will like us. But I'm going to tell you something, y'all. If you go to the Bible and you decide to take out from there everything you can find on God saying that people, if you follow me, if you follow my Son Jesus, like I want you to, people are not going to like you. And they're not. 2 Kings 22:2. It said in there that, and Josiah did what was right in the sight of the Lord and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. He asked God about everything like David did. David asked God one time in a battle, how do you want me to deal with this? And God told him exactly how to go, exactly which way to turn, exactly when to charge and everything. And he defeated his enemies. And he chased them for a couple of days and they got ahead of him and they formed up again. He saw he's going to have to fight them again. And you know what he did? He bowed down and asked God again, how do you want me to do this? And you know God told him to do it a completely different way. And he said, when you hear the wind stirring in the top of the trees, that's when you attack. So you see, it's You can't take yesterday's experiences and try them again today. They may not work. You have to constantly, every day on a daily basis, ask God, what would you have me do? You can be saved, and I'm trying to get in the habit, Anthony, of saying reconcile. I've got it written down. You can be saved, better word, reconcile, and not be a disciple. There's two different levels of being saved, of being reconciled. When you're a born-again believer, you can get born again and you can stay born again until you die and never produce any fruit. But if you're going to be what God wants you to be, it's the scripture that deny yourself and come follow me. That's what makes you a disciple. And if you know and follow the deny yourself route for Jesus, understand, you're going to turn people off. Most of the people who get along with everybody around them are those people who compromise. There was a fellow that visited this church, born again believer, been knowing him for years. And when he started in this church right here, a few years back, the people in another church cut him off. And he couldn't stand it. And he kept complaining about it. And he didn't like it because they didn't like him. And they were talking about him because he was going here. And he came to me to counsel with me about it. And I told him, I think this is where God wants you. But I'm going to tell you this. If that feeling right there is stronger than what you think God wants you to do, then the best thing for you to do is go back with the other one. And they'll all talk about how nice you are then. And that's what they did. That's what they did. So you see, the easiest route is just don't say much, fit in with everybody, be nice, don't stand for anything, and don't say anything controversial. And pretty much everybody will like you. Jesus said in John 15:19, I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. Now that term hate in the Bible is not the same way we use it, but it has different degrees. But what he's saying is, I pulled you out of the world. You're no longer supposed to be a part of the world. And if you live that way, people are not going to like you. And as you grow in Christ, people are going to separate from you. Now that thing is hard for some of our families especially. And he gives one place where he talks about who Jesus will separate you from and who will be divided. And the only relationship that I don't see in that list is a husband and a wife. He will not divide a husband and a wife, it says, but he will every other. Now, some people that don't approve of you will separate from you quietly and in a mannerly fashion because they're quiet, nice, mannerly people. And others are going to be very aggressive and very nasty and very rude. That's the way it works. If you will, turn to John chapter 16. I want to show you a verse that, believe it or not, I have been drawn to a couple of three times in my spiritual life. And I thought it's the most horrible thing in the whole world. But I tell you, it is a fact of having a relationship with Jesus Christ and wanting to get as close to Him as you can. It's part of it. Some of you have experienced the same thing. In John chapter 16, in verse 1. Now Jesus has just been talking to these folks about all kind of things. The world's attitude toward believers in Christ. He talks about the vine and the branches and all of that. He's preached them a long sermon. And then he comes down to this. These things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. Now let me tell you something. When you see that word in the New Testament, offended, it's not like we use it. It's not having your feelings hurt. That's not it. The word offend in the New Testament means to stumble. It says, these things have I spoken unto you that you should not stumble on your way to Christ. To be offended in the Bible is to have somebody do something that makes you question whether or not you're doing the right thing. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended or stumble. They shall put you out of the synagogues or out of the church. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he's doing God a good service. Now there's a comment I want to make right there. It says that, well, let me finish. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. Somebody kicked you out of a church, you can take it for granted. Somebody wants you out of a church, you can take it for granted. They don't have Jesus. That's what he says right here. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of it. So if it happens to you, don't be surprised. Because it's going to happen to all of us if we're growing. In some kind of way, somewhere, someplace, there are going to be people who want you out of their church. Now let me remind you of something. For somebody who wants you out of their church, they're in the church. And it says if they want you out of that church, they don't know Jesus. So don't be surprised. If people don't like where you're going with Jesus and the relationship you have with Jesus, they're in the church and they don't have Him. So you see, there's going to be the Satan's people that are in the church that are going to disagree with God's people. They'll always do that. But to kick you out, they've got to be there themselves too. Now the unchurched, the folks out here walking the street, that don't go to church much, think about it. When you get really close to Jesus, they'll usually call you a religious fanatic or a hypocrite. They don't know any more to call you. That's all they know about. But the church, they have been taught every Sunday. If they're in the church and they are not saved, they do not have the heart of Jesus, but they are given admonition every single Sunday they come to that church to use against you. And they use it against you in the only way they know how. They can't deal with you spiritually because they don't have the Savior. And if they don't have a Savior, they can't understand spiritual things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, Paul says, stand fast in the faith. And I added, with the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus will divide. No, it's going to happen. It will upset you, but don't let it rock your boat. Don't defend yourself. Don't explain. Quietly and meekly accept it. Whatever they give you, it's going to hurt, but just take it. Don't try to fight. Don't try to defend yourself. Don't try to explain yourself. It won't work. Just follow the Spirit's leading. Now let me say this, and I'm going to bring this down kind of to a personal level. I learned something the other night at our scene. Those folks were starving for old hymns. I think that was obvious. And the thing that occurred to me is, the thing that made them starve for hymns is not Satan. Satan wouldn't do that. The thing that had them starving for those old hymns was the Spirit of God. Now there's somewhere where they're not getting that. And God is trying to tell them through the Holy Spirit that they need those things. That for their spiritual life, they need to be singing those kind of songs. Now I got an idea. Most of those folks that were here the other night go to church regularly somewhere. But they're not getting what they got here. And the Holy Spirit is telling them that they need this. Now, if they're continuing to go in a place where they're not getting the things that the Holy Spirit tells them they need, they don't understand how to listen. And so, we get back to this whole idea of simplicity. We don't have a big Sunday school. We don't have basketball courts. We don't have a walking track. We don't have buildings where people can meet for all these arts and crafts and all this kind of stuff they're having at other places. All we got is two buildings and the Holy Spirit. All we got to offer people really and truly, y'all, is Jesus. And you know what? If that's all we're going to have to offer, it seems like it's working. But I tell you what, we're going to have to be real careful. If that's all we got to offer, that and St. Course. Here again, Jesus is the Spirit. All that singing was Jesus. The love is Jesus. All of that stuff comes from Jesus. And a lot of folks don't see that way. They're born again. Jesus saved them. Jesus is their God. And Jesus is trying to lead them, but they don't understand. So if things are not right, if you're frustrated, if something's not going to suit you, just ask God to show you what it is and what to do. Listen and obey. Satan uses our natural tendencies, just like the emotional part of our sympathy for people and all this kind of stuff. I'm going to tell you, I can't speak for anybody else. But God took a born-again little boy who grew into a man going to church every time the door was open, who was hooked on religion and thought he was doing the right thing. He gave him diabetes. And 4 years later, he blew away every single thing he and his family had. And 6 months later, he was sitting there reading a book, and the Holy Spirit came into his life and said, if Jesus came to see you tonight, what could you offer him? And I got to thinking, and I figured out that most of the relationship that I had with Jesus Christ was a one-way deal. He was giving it all to me. I wasn't giving it back to him like I should. And hey, I had, at that time, had held a lot of positions in the church. But I found out that night, sitting in that little old trailer that the government had given us to live in till we could get a house back, that I wasn't where God wanted me to be. And I turned around. Now Satan uses our natural tendencies in us, and that's what religion is all about, is a saved person going through all those motions that are really dictated by other people and his own flesh instead of the Holy Spirit of God. And Satan uses these natural tendencies we have to want to be friendly, to want to be loved, to want to be respected and looked up to have sympathy for people in the heart. All of that Satan uses to come between us and the dictates of the Holy Spirit in our life to sidetrack us away from God's will. So I think, you know, it's a good time of year. This is the last Sunday for the year that we might commit ourselves today to ask God to show us what we need to do, then to listen, to see what He says, and then to do it. It's as simple as that. It's not complicated at all. He said He'll show us, so He wants to. He said He'll use the Holy Spirit to lead us. So all we got to do is just ask and then follow. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today for being where we are, for being the recipients of all that You had for us. We thank You for this year. We thank you for what you've allowed us and equipped us and provided for us to do on this property and this building. We thank you, Lord, most of all, though, as we decided when we started out, that the restoring and the building was not going to be with boards and building materials, but with people. And Lord, as I look back over this last year and see the way people have learned and grown and changed and come closer to you, I thank you for all of that. Lord, keep us doing what you want us to do. Don't let our natural tendencies of wanting to be a big church, wanting to be things that folks find that they go off and... Lord, just let us be what you want us to be. Bring the people here that you want to be. Cause us to minister to those people in our path. And to remember constantly to thank you for every single thing that you give us. Knowing that things work for good to them that love you and that you call according to your purposes, not ours. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.